Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. We know you'll be encouraged and inspired by this message. For more content like this, you can subscribe here or head over to faithchurch.com. Let's jump in now for an on-time word from Pastor David.
This weekend, we're going to talk about missing the mark. And I want all campuses to shout that with me loud and clear. Shout, miss the mark. We're going to have some bow and arrows. I'm probably going to light some of these up and shoot them out at all campuses. It's going to be very dangerous because I got to do what I can do. I like danger, but missing the mark. First of all, I see a lot of church people right now missing the mark in the sense that they're just not really where they should be with Jesus. My dad used to tell me this, and I want you to pay attention to this statement because it's pretty profound. It's very easy, but it's pretty profound. He used to tell me about people. He would say, someday they're going to need old God. He'd tell me that. Someday you're going to need old God. You don't need him today, but there's going to be a day that you're going to need old God. And so as I watch a lot of people, you know, the mark that they're hitting or the target that they're aiming for is just that target. I see people from church at Target, but they don't come to church because there's just, trust me, there's room for social distancing. There's plenty of room for massive social distancing if you would like. But sometimes it's just an excuse. I want to break the habit. Now, I'm going to say something that I thought about not saying because I thought, man, that's a real Debbie Downer. But I think you need to feel the gravity of what I'm about to say. A lot of things that you think are very important to you, at some point in your life won't be important at all. The house, the car, the whatever. And I think those things are important. But some things are very important. Me and Nicole spent some time this morning ministering to some people who their little baby boy was in the NICU early on, and he fought for his life, and he was doing great, and they sent us pictures. He's in his little bow tie, and he's moving around. He's awesome, and he's 15 months old. And this morning, when they went to his crib, he died in the middle of the night. Now, I know that's really heavy, but I want you to feel the weight of that, because in that moment, they weren't worried about the house. They weren't worried about the car. There was a hole in their soul. Something was gone, and they could never give it back. And so, as always, that's why the local church is so important. We were there for them, and we love them through this thing. You say, why would you tell such? We want a happy story, and I do want all stories to end happy. Number one, the child is with Jesus. Number two, I believe they'll have another child, but still, they needed God today. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. And I'm here to tell you today, every 4 years there's going to be some kind of drama and elections. But I just want to let everybody know there's only one person who can't be voted in and out every 4 years. He runs a theocracy. That means God. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you're hurting, you need Jesus in his church. If you're lonely, you need Jesus. Somebody ought to help me today. I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer. I'll give you 10 seconds to praise him. 9, 8, 7. Somebody ought to give us a praise like it's the last time you're ever going to praise him. You don't know this might be the last. Oh, Lord. Hey, hey, hey. If I could run a lap right now, I would. Big deal. So now we got everybody's bearings on straight. How many of y'all thought you had a bad day, but really now you realize, no big deal. Your internet was slow, your Uber was late, your steak was cold. Not a big deal. Philippians 3, let's flip through Philippians. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. That might be the bad marriage, the bad decision. Forget the things that are behind you, because you can't go forward looking behind you. That's why the front glass on your car is really big and the rearview mirror is really small. And reaching forth to those things which are before you, I press toward the mark. Everybody shout that on all campuses. I press towards the mark. Come on, Florida, shout it. I press. Come on, every campus. One more time. You do what? I press toward. Of the prize of the high calling of God. Press toward the mark. This weekend, while I was preparing for this, I was thinking about bow and arrows and deer season and people, and I was thinking about how oftentimes they say ready, aim, fire. But many times people, you know, fire before they aim. In fact, a lot of people are shot in their own home with their own gun because they get so nervous. Probably the best thing you could do, some of you, is not have a gun because you might shoot yourself. Amen. I mean, I deal with a lot of stuff. ready, aim, fire. But you can't in life. Sometimes at 17 or 18, they send you credit cards and you just fire. Instead of really aiming, realizing that, wait, I need to get ready for this and I'm not, and I need to aim for this and before I fire. This is why many times people pull the trigger on an organization or a church or a company before they're really ready to fire, and they fail to achieve their dreams because, or they get divorced because they it just doesn't turn out because they get that wrong. So this weekend, I'm going to just share with you these three easy steps, ready, aim, fire. And I want you to shout that with me. Why? Ready, aim, fire. One more time.
Ready, aim, fire.
Get ready. How do you do this? Okay, so I'm going to give you some real quick tips. We're going to deal with two things. One, we're going to talk about hearing God and how to know how to hear from God. We're going to talk about relationships with your kids, and then we're going to talk about money. Those are the three things we're going to do. So getting ready, how do you do this? Learning to hear the voice of God. Number one, if you're a note taker, write this down. Matthew 6:33, it said, seek ye first. So before Target, I saw you at Walmart. Wouldn't you hate to go to heaven? All of a sudden, in a car wreck or something like that, and all the security cameras showed that you were at Walmart and Target, but there was no record of you at church because you're at home eating Uber Eats. No big deal. I'm not trying to put guilt on you. I just want you to realize that it's very important that you realize that you're going to need old God. So how do you get ready? You seek first the kingdom of God, not last. It's first. I can learn at home. Yeah, okay. There's some truth to that. But I think it would depend upon your handicap. Right now, Nicole is glad to get me water. She's glad to get all my stuff. She's glad to get it. But how many of y'all know if it's just a regular day and I'm like, hey, go get me some water. She's like, you got two legs. Come on, say amen. You know this is true. But today she understands. So what I'm saying is some people live in Timbuktu. Yes, the online campus works great. But that if you're not careful, you'll get lazy and you will get in a bad habit. And bad habits are not easy to be broken. And for the anointing of God to break the yoke in your life, you've got to get in the church where the Spirit of God is and raise your hands and say, oh God, it was good that I was afflicted. It was good that I was down. But God, I came today and I will lift up a sacrifice of praise. And by the way, if you ain't never broke your leg or your ankle praising God, you ain't never give the Lord a sacrifice. All the crazy stuff you know I've done, ain't never broke something and broke it while I was praising the Lord. Mm-hmm. Look at y'all. Good legs, two good legs. No. So get ready. Seek God. Everybody shout, seek God. So learning the word of God and hearing the voice of God changes everything. So I want to take you to the movies last night at Chesterfield. Me and Nicole went out with some friends to dinner, and then she said, man, I haven't been to the movies forever. And she loved to go to the movies. And I mean, we haven't been to the movies since COVID. And she checked it, and so we went in, and there was really nobody there except the guy who was behind the place trying to sell us stuff. And he was 30 feet from us, and he's yelling at Nicole because she had her mask was leaking under her nose. And he goes, lady, pull your mask up! Wow. I was like, man, no wonder. You don't have a girlfriend. And now we went to the bathroom, and I came out of the bathroom, and as soon as I walked out of the bathroom, this is how it goes when you just fellowship with Jesus. I'm talking about ready, aim, fire. When you fellowship with God, God talks to you. So I'm in the bathroom going to see a movie. By the way, Don, Nicole had some little ice cream niblets and some Sour Patch Kids. I did eat it too. Come on, somebody. I'm weak right now. I can't get around. She put it right by my mouth. What am I supposed to do? So we're just doing our life. And I walk out of the bathroom and I heard the Holy Ghost say this to me. Save, sow, and get ready to grow. Just the same thing he told me back in 2008. It was the same Holy Ghost. He said, don't wonder, don't waver, don't wait. 2008 is going to be great while you're wondering, wavering, waiting, people dying, going to hell. And you're catching fish up in the St. Charles area, but now I need you to build me a boat. And so now all of a sudden, check this out. I'm talking to business people right now. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Put that scripture up for me in Proverbs. It says the wealth, Proverbs 13:22, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. The world, and I'm going to talk about it a lot next week, the world is getting ready to go through 5 years of pandemonium. Of panic, of struggle, of trials. But there will be a massive influx of blessing and favor upon the people of God. You mark my words, I'm talking about movie theaters are going to go broke and churches are about to go in it. People in our church who were having a difficult time, but they were tithing at the Welland Spring campus. You saw that testimony where the woman started a clothing factory in her basement. It went to her garage, and then they bought up the strip mall, and then they put in their own gym. How many know you got Michael Jackson money when you start buying your own gym? But God is about to show a difference between the wealth of the sinner, it's been stored up for the just. So when I walked out of the bathroom, in fact, I want to show you the actual footage. If you follow me on Instagram, you saw this, but check this out.
Press Zoe picked up a $20 million loan made at the church for $6.3 million, the wealth of the sinner, the just. So it's all church owners, get ready to buy movie theaters. Don't go building from the ground up when they're going to be available. Just hang loose. Save and sow, get ready to grow. Save and sow, get ready to grow. That's a word for somebody.
Come on, everybody shout it. Everybody shout, save, sow, and get ready to grow. Shout it again. Save, sow, and for the Catholic, save and sow, and get ready to grow. Save, sow, get ready to grow. So expect your business to flourish. Expect the opportunity to come. But again, if you're not ready, aim, fire, then you won't be ready. We couldn't have bought a $21 million building for $6.3 million, but we were the only person who had $1 million in the bank. I don't know if you've heard of the golden rule, but it is this. He who has the gold makes the rules. And God is getting ready to do that in your business, in your mind. Over the next 5 years, get ready for supernatural opportunities, unprecedented favor, unbelievable breakthrough. I'm talking about goodness and mercy following you, chasing you down, and overtaking you. If you believe that, somebody ought to shout amen to that right now. On Facebook, you ought to be hitting share. Okay, so 1 John 2:20. It is 2020, so that's kind of cool. 1 John 2:20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. One translation there says you have knowledge of all things. Another one says you have an inclination about all things. Shout, I have an unction. Come on, like you had breakfast. Shout it like I'm preaching it. I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. What's that mean? The Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. So he's the one who will tell you stuff like this. One day, how many of y'all are interested in learning about these keys right now? I was at Earth City campus, and it wasn't Earth City campus, and we were kind of lollygagging and negotiating on the project, and then all of a sudden, I heard the Holy Ghost tell me, expedite. That means do it now. Expedite. So if I hadn't heard that, I would have kept trying to negotiate in the flesh. In other words, the Holy Spirit was over my shoulder going, hey, ready, aim. And I waited. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm teaching you stuff right now that'll make you rich. It'll keep it from getting divorced. It'll bind the devil off of your life. It'll do for you what Mary Kay could never do for you. It'll do for you what Photoshop can't do for you. So the Holy Ghost says, expedite. So being at the right place at the right time is everything in life. But you have an unfair advantage when you're going to God's house and you're serving the Lord. You are in his word. You're immersed hearing instruction from him. Then it changes everything about your life. I want to show this in a real cool passage in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 15. It said, and Elisha said unto him, take the bow and arrows. And so he took it up the bow and arrows. Notice that the man of God, the pastor, as I'm saying to you right now, said, hey, Elijah says to this young man, take up the bow and arrow. So he took it. He's getting ready to give him instruction. Verse 16, and so he said to the king of Israel, put it in thy hand, the bow and arrow, and he put it into his hand. And Elijah put his hand upon the king's hand. And then verse 16, it said, take now the bow and arrow. Actually, verse 17, let's go back there. And he said, open the window eastward. By the way, I want to let you know that I just heard, because I want to teach you this. I heard the Holy Spirit say, hey, Slow down. You're trying to fit too much in. So at any point in this sermon today that you have to leave, go ahead. But I want to make sure I listen to the Lord because he paid my bills, healed my foot, gave me a wife that feeds me gummy bears during a movie. And he said, verse 17, and he said, notice this is the pastor at the church. He said, open the window to the westward side. No. Can you read? Everybody shout it. Where? That's a big deal. Because if he'd have shouted out the west side or the south side or the north side, it'd been the wrong side. So hearing the unction of the Holy Ghost oftentimes comes from some crazy dude sitting in the stool that says, I've been with the Lord. I've been praying in the Spirit. And God told me to tell you a couple things. And here's one of the things he said. Forsake not the assemblies of yourself together. And when the evil day approaches, do it all the more. I don't have any excuses for any stupidity as far as like, man, I wish God would have helped me over here or God would help me there. It always goes back to you and me. It's never a God problem. It's a you problem. It gets so quiet at these moments. And he said, open the window. So he's saying, get ready. Everybody shout that, get ready. Open the window eastward. And so he opened it. Now notice a lot of people know the word of God. And I've been guilty of this where I know what to do, but I don't do it. Raise your hand. Don't be a liar. Anybody ever knew what to do, but you just didn't do it? But this guy, he did different. He opened it. Then Elijah said, notice once you do the first thing God says, then he'll tell you the next thing. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrows of the Lord's deliverance, now prophecy's coming, the arrows of the Lord's deliverance from Syria, thou shalt smite the Syrians all the way to Aphek till they consume them. And he said, take now the arrows and take them. And he said to the king of Israel, smite them on the ground. And he smote them three times. And then the man of God was wroth and said, why did you not smack it five or six times? You had five or six arrows, bro. The window is open. And I said, ready, aim, fire. And you shot three arrows? You should shoot all the arrows. So the man of God was wroth. And watch, there's always a consequence to disobedience. Thou should have smote six times. Then, everybody shout then. So now you're not going to get all the breakthrough. He said, then you would have smitten Syria till thou had consumed them. Whereas, that's a legal term. You see that on legal documents. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria three times. Three times. So today when I was reading that, the Lord's giving me a revelation. He said, notice here that what you sow, you reap. So many people know they ought to give their whole heart to God. They sing worship songs around the house. I know some of the people that screwed up their life more than anything. I'm thinking about them right now. They had all kinds of money and loads of dough. It was just unbelievable. Seriously, like some horses were $200,000. I mean, you know, you got a lot of money when one horse is $200,000 horse and you fly it in on an airplane from Austria. You got Michael Jackson money. But then when they got rich, they stopped coming to church so much, but they wrote on the stone of the home nice little Bible verses. And every time I went in, they were listening to Christian music. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away. So you, but they weren't singing that. They were hearing that being sung. But I can't send nobody to kiss my wife. I got to kiss her for myself. You can't send somebody to praise your God. Somebody ought to help me right now. If God gave you everything, you ought to give God everything. You ought to shout for praise. Somebody ought to give him praise right now. You ought to go to the house of God, learn the word of God, and don't make God mad or the man of God mad because you shot three arrows. Come on, go all in. Hey! I'm preaching right now. I know I am. Oh, I like church. Yes, I do. I like Target too, yes I do. Ain't got nothing bad to say about Target. But you need to be in the house of God. Not just a Target. Or you'll miss the mark. Come on, give it up for JP. And all our campuses, don't we have the greatest
people. Come on, give it up. Titus in Florida, everybody, everywhere. And the man of God was wroth.
Would you believe me if I told you that the Lord just spoke to me? Right here, he's talking to me. And he just said, go back there on the man of God being wroth and explain that to them. So let me explain it to you, Lucy. I'm not mad at you. But I do get disappointed sometimes when I see everything the Lord done for you. Everything he's done for us. And then people won't endure sound doctrine. Because I was blessed a long time ago. I was very successful when I married Nicole. Obviously, she didn't marry me because I was pretty. But I was successful. But she was very successful. So we didn't have to work. But we gave our life to Jesus. For people that would have a 15-month old son laying in a bed today when they found him. And the other marriage people that we talked to today, that the marriage looks like it's over. And all the different things we did. We decided that we could use our life to help other people hit the mark because we were so good at not hitting the mark that we're like, don't do that, do this. Does that make sense? So back to that, the man of God was wroth. Yeah. A lot of my friends, I want to talk to preachers because a lot of you listening to me right now. In fact, there are successful preachers in the room right now. They're friends of mine. I'm watching a lot of preachers be not leaders at this moment. Well, the people are afraid. Be thou not afraid, for I am with you even to the ends of the earth. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you think this is bad, where you have to wear the little mask, you just wait till it. Blood starts coming out of the sink and all the stuff the Lord talks about. So don't faint in the day of adversity. So what I'm saying right now, listen to me. Hear me yelling. Have a spiritual father in your life. And Elisha was the byproduct of a guy named Elijah. And Elijah was really hard on Elisha. That's why Elisha is really hard on Joash right now, because he knew Joash going to get his... his butt in trouble. I didn't said it. You said it. But you got to have a man of God in your life to say, quit staying home in fear and arise, shine, for the light has come. You're going to find out it's not what you thought it was anyway. So you might as well rejoice the Lord. You might as well praise the Lord. He's bigger than COVID. He's bigger than the killer hornet that they were released. He's God. Come on, give him praise. Come on, every campus right now. Just praise him, praise him, praise him. Oh, yeah. I like it. I want to read verse 20 because it's kind of cool, because it is really neat. Elijah died, the old man, you know, he's aggravated. His last kind of words to Joash is, I can't believe he just shot three arrows when you should have shot them all, and then he died. But check out verse 20. It says, when Elijah died, they buried him. I mean, you know, that's a good idea. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land in the coming year. And the next verse, it doesn't say here. Somehow I've marked it out of my iPad. But the next one said that they threw other people in the grave with Elijah. And as soon as they threw him in, the guy's resurrected. It looked like a Michael Jackson video, like, right? Because they resurrected. I'm here to tell you that there was so much power in the bones of the old man that the power of God shot through those young men and they rose again. I want a church that is so powerful, so worshipful, that we don't just come for the word, we come to worship. Come on, somebody. We don't just come on Sunday morning. We just don't come on the weekend, but we're Tuesday night people. Come on, somebody. We don't just go to church and say, feed me, bless me. We say, I am the church. I serve at church. And I help other people when they're down. I'm going to help other people make their target. I want Aaron to come out here. He's the only guy that we trust with a bow and arrow in the church. And Aaron is going to shoot that target. And what's really scary is is that where you do it? Yeah. Do it. So he's going to shoot it next to the LED screen, which is about $150,000 mistake. But I believe in him. So how many of y'all don't want him just firing? Come on, help me. I'm sitting here. People, help me. How many of y'all think he ought to get ready? Let's talk him through this because he's nervous.
Now I'm nervous. It's real arrow. So he needs to get ready, and then he needs to get set, and then he fires. What? Come on, look at that. Somebody ought to give Aaron some loving on that deal right there. Shoot it again. I know you want to do it. So he's got to get ready. Here's what most people do. They just shoot. Just like look at you guys. How many of y'all don't want him doing that? Ready, aim, fire. Oh, yeah, he's a man of God. Look, he ain't shooting just to hit them all.
One more.
We're going to shoot all of them. Come on. Ready, aim, fire. You like David.
Just do it behind me because we're wasting a lot of time. But now let's talk about that. He's just going to shoot the rest of those. Psalms 127, they'll put it on the screen. Last one. This man would kill a deer 20 miles away. Come on, give it up for Aaron. Hey, stay with me. Stay with me. Okay, so Psalms 127, just stay here. Psalms 127, verse 4, it says, children are a heritage from the Lord. So number one, we talked about seeking God. So that's the ready. Now aim. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring, a reward from him. Like arrows. Everybody shout it. All campuses. What are the children?
Arrows.
Shout it again. They're like what?
Arrows.
In the hands of a warrior. Children are born in one's youth. In other words, 90-year-old people shouldn't be having children because y'all don't want to go play mini golf or anything anymore. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full. They will not be put to shame. Children are heritage of the Lord. I want to talk to people that have kids for a minute. Aaron's mom was cutting my dad's hair. She was crying all of a sudden in the middle of my dad's haircut. She didn't know Jesus, but my dad knew Jesus, and she just started crying. He said, ma'am, what are you crying about? She said, me and my husband are going to get a divorce. It's so bad, but really part of the problem is because I want to have kids and I can't. So my dad says, hey, I want to pray for you, and he leads his mother, Donna, to the Lord. Donna now starts coming to church, and she can't have any children. But then all of a sudden, our church, this is where church is important. There was an anointing in the church, and there was faith begin to build in the church. And now she knew, I'm ready. If she'd had the kids before, she wasn't ready. But now that she's right church, she's ready for because the children are heritage of the Lord. Ready, and then she was able to aim Aaron in the right direction. I went in the nursery, and he's a little baby. A lot, because he was always biting other little kids, and I'd slap him around. But she aimed him in the right direction, kept him in church Sunday morning. We used to have Sunday night back when we really loved Jesus. And Tuesday night. And then Aaron grew up in the house of God and has served God and worked with and on the church forever. And last Sunday, he's the one that baptized all the people at our city. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah, because guess what? Mom was ready. Somebody ought to shout amen. And she aimed him at the right space and place. And then she fired at him. And then now, come on, somebody ought to give God praise. This is what you do with kids. Well, I think my kids can stay home with me because we're into sports and we went to Target. No, you can't. Your kids are on a Zoom call with their friends. They're on a Zoom call at school. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord.
Amen.
And so when you do that, you get a guy that's a marksman, brilliant, gainfully employed, money-making maniac, and he's just blessed. Proverbs 22, stay with me one more minute. Proverbs 22, verse 6, we're talking the second phase, his kids. Train up a child in the way they should go. I don't go to church all the time. I cheat on his mama. I'm an alcoholic. These are all substance issues that are really just the work of the flesh. And most of that appears in all of our lives when we do not submit to God. When you recalibrate yourself every weekend, you go to church, whatever campus you're at, and you say, okay, we're going. Ready? Let's go. Ready? If you're married 30 minutes later, you ready? But you go. Ready? Aim. Aim for church. And get them there. Train them up, and when they're old, they'll not depart. Why? Because I brought this out because it would be kind of fun. Aaron, lay that down and help me. So get another cigarette lighter and let's do this at the same time because it took a long time. I tried it in the back and it's just real slow to go. But this here is a marshmallow and we're having a marshmallow roast in front of everybody. And tomorrow I want a butane porch or what do you call it, torch? Yeah, I don't want to torch the porch, but this thing's on fire. So the devil every day has one of these lit up. The fiery darts of the wicked one. Lust, pride, anger, rage. Next thing you know, your house is on fire. My wife's leaving me. All I ever said was no. That's not all you ever said. That's the last thing you said. Hang on, Aaron. Sit back over there a little bit. I want to shoot this at you. Just a little bit. We haven't tried this, but we may never try it again. You ready, Aaron? Oh, yeah, there you go. Come on, give it up for Aaron. Now, Aaron's the type of guy that would eat that. Go ahead, Aaron. We're so scared of COVID. Man, that's good. Anybody else want one? Chris. Ah, good woman. Come on, Florida. Ready? All campuses. Who wants that? The girl way back in the back. How many of y'all want us to light one on fire? Way over there. Way, oh, man, I really missed that one. I got a bad leg. These guys over there. Come on, look at those guys over there. One more way over here. Come on, somebody over there. I don't know who it is. Oh, we got to quit. Teach the kids. Everybody shout, teach the kids. Genesis 18, we're almost done. Genesis 18, verse 18 says, since Abraham shall surely become great, God knows what you could be. Great in the mighty nation, all the nations of the earth will be blessed in him. He was rich in cattle and silver and houses and land. I know him in order that he will command his children and his household after him that they should keep the way of the Lord. So God was saying, the only reason why I'm really going to bless Abraham is because I know that he's going to teach his kids. You know why I'm here today? Because of my dad. You know the reason why he's here today? There wasn't one trip that my dad took out of the country once Aaron was born. And my little brother, I was older, I was 18 when he was born. But he'd take my little brother, he'd take Aaron. Aaron's been all over the world with my dad. His mom would give him money to go on the trip. And my dad said, Aaron's the tightest kid I know in my life. His mom gives him hundreds of dollars and he won't spend any of it. He uses all my money. He said, that kid's going to make it. Come on, that's a wise guy. He knew my dad had more time to make money. Come on, help me. That's the truth, isn't it?
That is the truth.
Give it up for Aaron. Get out of here. Right. So teach your kids. Teach your kids. Come on, go ahead. Teach your kids. Shout it. All campuses. Teach your kids. Number three, this is the last one on ready, aim, fire. Ready, aim, fire. Number three, this is the third one. One we talked about, seeking God. Two we talked about, raising those kids right. And three, the last one, this is where it breaks down for most people. Money. M-O-N-E-Y. Money problems. You're going to have trouble out of the kids. You're going to have trouble out of your marriage. Every area of your life, you're going to miss the mark on. You're going to fall short when you don't prioritize God. Romans 3:23, it says, for all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. One translation said, we've missed the mark. Isaiah 53, verse 6. Come on, Florida, hang in there. All of us like sheep have gone astray or missed the mark. Each of us has turned to his own way. I'm going to do what I want to do the way I want to do it. I'm going to spend this my money. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. Haggai 1 verse 9, it says, you looked for much and behold it came to little. I wonder how I work and I work and I work and we just don't seem to get ahead. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. I got to get a new TV. I got to get new carpet. We're remodeling. And COVID, we're home more. So we need new garage doors. Therefore, the heavens are above you, and they've withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld the produce. And I have called for a drought, a COVID, fire, blood. And the hills on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and on beasts and on all that labors. So you look for much and you don't have much because it's like you have pockets with holes in it. Now again, when you talk to God, we talked about number one was learning to hear from God, listen to the Holy Spirit. Number two was, hey, let's train our kids right. Number three is how to get the money thing right, because when I walked into that theater, and I'm talking to business people right now, one word from God can change your life completely. One guy at our church bought, I think it was 30 acres. He really hardly had the money to buy the acreage like 15 years ago. And then recently, Florida came to him and said, hey, we want to buy these 3 acres. And he said, it's really not for sale. And they were forced to give him millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. It took his business out of debt, took the Florida church out of debt, and took his personal life out of debt. And he bought an extra vacation home because why? One, he was doing what God said. Two, he raised his kids in the house of God. And three, he was a tither. So his pockets didn't have holes. God is looking to bless you. But many times people hold on to what they have. And when your hands are like this, not only can you not get it, give anything, but you can't receive anything. Amen. Matthew 6:19. It says, lay not up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. So a lot of people, I'm saving all my money because I don't know what's going to happen. There's going to be a rainy day. I want to see how COVID turns out. I already know how it turns out. I already told you, the next 5 years will be all kinds of peril and problems and downers for the world, but there's a wealth transfer coming to the people who qualify. Ready, aim, fire. But if you're not ready because you're not in alignment with assignment on your life, you have no regard, respect for the Lord. Proverbs 15:33, we're almost done. It says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction in wisdom. Fear doesn't mean I'm afraid of God. It means I respect you. And humility comes before honor. Honor. Ready, aim, fire. Let's all shout it again at all campuses. Ready, aim, fire. Ready, aim, fire. At some point in your life, you've either had kids and you realize when they call and they say, hey, let's go out to eat, you drop whatever you're doing because you're like, oh my gosh, the kids want to go out to eat with us. I need to brush my teeth. I need to put on pants. No, let's just go the way we are. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? You got kids? Or you're maybe in a position right now where it's not about kids. It's just about, man, I don't feel like God loves me because of all the stuff I've done wrong. That's right. I haven't raised my kids in church. What do I do in that case? It's a great question. My whole life, I've sat in this seat and watched what works and what doesn't work. It doesn't work to just stay at home, sit on the couch, and eat bonbons, eat carbs all day long, and not exercise. You will get fat. Just fat. I promise you. Unhealthy. Cardiovascular disease. All kinds of stuff. But if you get up and you take in more protein and less carbs, and you move and you drink more water, you'll get healthy. Just a fact. Now, that's just a natural thing. While I've watched so many people say, well, it's too late. No, I've watched their kids come back, and here's why. They just kept going to church all the time, and eventually their kids came into one of those moments where they said, I need old God. And they knew mom and dad knew God, and they knew where to find him. God right now himself might be the only one who knows where to find you. I want to talk to every single one of you at all of our campuses and online for a moment to close your eyes and let me pray for you. But I want you to feel the weight of where we started today. We started with people who love that little baby boy with that little plaid shirt on and that little bow tie and those little bitty short legs. And they were all standing there holding hands. And then today they walked in and he wasn't alive. This is a heavy moment, but I want you to feel the severity of you're worried about disease that is 99.9% recoverable. You're worried about something that's going to come. What you need to be worried about, the Bible said, is not what can kill the flesh, but what could kill the spirit and the flesh. God needs to be the priority in your life. I want everybody right now to say this prayer with me, to get right with Jesus and to receive him maybe for the first time. Say this with me. Say, "Dear Jesus, I truly am sorry. I mean it, God. If you give me another chance, I'm going to turn around. I'm going to do it right this time. I'm going to make it right this time. God, I need you. I need you to resurrect all those dead spots in my life. Resurrect my mind. Resurrect my heart. Resurrect my family. And God, from this moment, I call you, Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, and I will forever praise you and serve you and be at your house." That's my word to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Remember, everybody shout it with me. Ready? Aim. Fire. Give the Lord a hand as you check out this testimony.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If it encouraged you, share it with a friend. You never know what the people around you are going through. We're so grateful you joined us today, and we'll be back next week for more resources or to give. Please go to faithchurch.com.